Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Power. Catherine?
At Adora, more than 10 million Hispanic voters turned out on Election Day, and they voted overwhelmingly for Barack Obama. He received twice as many Latino votes as John McCain. And now that Latinos have pushed the lever in the voting booth, can they push for more power in the Obama administration? We're going to get a forecast on that from Gibby Martinez. She is a longtime Washington observer and a contributor to Politico. Gibby, thanks for joining us this morning. Cool.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what gap do you see between the actual power of the Latino vote and the perception of it?
Well, the Latino vote clearly is there. They showed their presence in November, as you said. The question is whether they can continue to push their agenda now that the new administration is there. And one of the things that we see in official Washington and the political elite is that there seems to be less consideration for the Hispanic caucus than, say, for the Black caucus. You know, one could argue that, you know, Barack Obama is an African-American and therefore is going to be more inclined to listen to the Black caucus. But it really is just a raw perception of power. The individual members of the Hispanic caucus are indeed powerful. They have risen to leadership positions in the House and Senate. They are chairs of committees in the House. And yet, when you look at the caucus as a whole, it hasn't learned yet how to flex that collective muscle. And that's what they need to learn in order to get the attention. And we just heard David Sanger talking about, you know, the banking situation. You know, the Hispanics are disproportionately hurt by issues like the economy. You look at housing foreclosures, they're going to have a higher percentage of housing foreclosures in their areas. You look at education, they're going to have poorer schools in their areas. So there clearly is a need for Hispanics to flex the muscle, and the question is whether they will and can this year.
Okay, so what gets in the way of that? I mean, it's hard to imagine 10 million, a voters block of 10 million having to struggle for recognition.
Yeah, to some extent, it's interesting because I think it's the caucus itself. You know, the policy leaders, the leaders of the civil rights groups and the Hispanic community are very savvy. They're the ones who got the vote out, organized the vote, raised the money to do these, you know, public service announcements in the neighborhoods to get the vote out. They did a very good job in the fall. The caucus itself has not yet learned how to organize a message or a strategy, and also is kind of haunted by ghosts of past divisions. 2 years ago, at the beginning of the last Congress, there was a big fight in the caucus between the male members and the female members. It was a gender fight, and it caused two members of Congress, two sisters from California, Loretta Linda Sanchez, to resign from the caucus. This year, Linda Sanchez has come back, but Loretta Sanchez has not decided whether to rejoin the caucus. When you have those kinds of petty, you know, bitter, nasty fights internally, it's going to be hard to work together, and they need to learn to get beyond that and basically to mature and to grow up.
So in other words, Gibby, you're arguing that the full power of this particular group, this political group, is not going to be realized until they work out some of the kinks among leadership.
Right. And, you know, they have a woman, Nidia Velasquez of New York, who is their new chair this year. And so they're hoping that they can sort of regroup under her leadership. One of the things about her, though, is that she is very much of a backroom player, very gritty, determined, behind-the-scenes player. She's the chair of the Small Business Committee, which is important to the Hispanic community. But people are still waiting to see if she knows how to marshal all of the forces as a political, you know, strength. One example, when Bill Richardson, the New Mexico governor, withdrew as Commerce Secretary, individual members sent letters to the Obama transition team saying, okay, even though we lost that Hispanic seat in the cabinet right now, we still want to have a Hispanic. Richardson is out, but we still want a Hispanic. That's something that the caucus should have done collectively. It would have been helpful if they had, you know, gotten together around a message and transmitted that to the Obama transition to say, look, you almost, you know, broke a record in having three Hispanics at the cabinet level. That's unprecedented. you know, aim for that, try to do that, repeat that. But it doesn't look like he's going to. And
okay.
That kind of shows the lack of power, power outage among the caucus.
So many other issues we could get to, especially, of course, immigration. We know it's going to be a key issue. GB Martinez, hope to talk to you further about this. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's GB Martinez. She is a contributor to Politico, a longtime Washington Observer. I'm Catherine Lamford, and you're listening to The Takeaway.
And I've heard it described as a new world order, that the hierarchy of all these various political groups is going to shake out slowly now that President Obama is in office. We'll see.
Okay.